ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ
We're coming closer to the end of the law, this long chapter, explanations of the upper universe. And we begin in text 300. This Atmanala verse is like the sentence, quote, in this forest many different trees bear fruit, end quote. All Atmanalas render devotional service to Lord Krishna. After 58 times uttering the word Atmanama and taking cha in the sense of aggregation, when they add the word munara, that will mean that they also render devotional service to Lord Krishna. In this way, there are 59 meanings. Then, taking the word nirgantha and considering api in the sense of sustenance, I have tried to explain 59 meanings of the word. Taking all the words together, there is another meaning. Whether one is an atmarama, a great sage, or nirgantha, everyone must engage in the service of the Lord. Purport. The word sarva samuchaya is significant here. It includes all classes of men, atmarama, muni, and nirgantha. Everyone engages in the service of the Lord, taking the word api in the sense of ascertainment. There are altogether 60 different meanings. Text 304. The word api is then used in the sense of ascertainment. And then, four times with four words, the word eva can be uttered. The word urukrama, bhakti, ahaitaki, and kurvanti are added to the word eva again and again. Thus another meaning is explained. Now I have given 60 different meanings to the verse. And yet there is another meaning, which is also very strongly evident. The word Atma also refers to the living entity who knows about his body. That is another symptom. From Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone is counted as the marginal potency of the Lord. The potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories, namely, the spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in furtive activities. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana. For an explanation, see Adi Lila 7:119. The word Chetragya refers to the living entity, the enjoyer, the chief, and the material nature. The living entities are wandering in different species of life and different planets, but if by chance they get the association of a pure devotee or sadhu, they give up all other engagements and engage in the service of Lord Krishna. I have thus explained 60 different meanings, and all of them aim at the service of Lord Krishna. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning. Now due to your association, another meaning has awakened. It is due to your devotional service that these waves of meanings are arising. The word Atma refers to the living entity. From Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone is considered a living entity. Living entities are considered part of the Lord's marginal potency. All of them are chetragya, knowers of the body. When they become nirgantha, they are free, saintly persons, they engage in their Krishna service. That is the 61st meaning of the verse. Translation text 3:13. Lord Shiva said, I may know, Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, may know, And Vyasadev may know or may not know the Srimad Bhagavatam. On the whole, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginary commentaries. Unquote. And devotional service includes 9 processes. This is purport. Beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering the activities of Lord Vishnu, only one who has taken the devotional service can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the spotless Purana for a transcendentalist, Paramahamsa. So-called commentaries are useless for this purpose, according to the Vedic injunction. Yasya Devi Parab Bhaktir Yatha Devi Tatha Guru. All Vedic literatures maintain that Srimad Bhagavatam has to be learned from the person, Bhagavata, and to understand it, one has to engage in pure devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood, cannot be understood, by so-called erudite scholars and grammarians. One who has developed pure Krishna consciousness and has served the pure devotee, the spiritual master, can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, others cannot. After hearing all the explanations of the different meanings of the Atmarama verse, Sanatana Goswami was struck with wonder. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to offer prayers. Sanatana Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. All the Vedic literatures are vibrated through your breathing. My dear Lord, you are the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. You therefore know its real import. But for you, no one can understand the confidential meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam." Before following the statement by Srimad Sanatana Goswami, we have written our introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, page 1, pages 7 through 41. Stop there. Any discussion, questions? I don't know where we stopped. I think it was 3:15. Something like that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Venasya Aveksha Munayo Duvritasya Vacheshtitam Vimishya Loka Vyasanam Kripayochu Sma Satrina Vinasya Viksha Munayo Dovitasya Vacheshtitam Vimishya Loka Vyasanam Kripayochu Sma Satrina Venasya Viksha Munayo Dovritasya Vacheshtitam Vimishya Loka Vyasanam Kripayochu Sma Satrina. Vimishya Loka Vyasanam Vimishya Loka Vyasanam Kripayochu Sma Satrinam Vimishya Loka Vyasanam Vimishya Loka Vyasanam Vimishya Loka Vyasanam Vimishya Shalita Swami Cheshtapam. Shalakavyatanam. Upayachusma Saptana. Ladies, chant. Vimasya Viksha Munaya. Devatasya Vicheshtakam. Indrasya Loka Vyasanam. Dupaya Chusa Satyana. Vimasya Viksha Munaya. Devatasya Vicheshtakam. Indrasya Loka Vyasanam. Vipayo chusma sattrina Venasya. Of King Vena. Aviksha. After observing. Munaya. All the great sages. Durvitasya. Of the great rogue. Vicheshtitam. Activities. Vimrisha. Considering. Loka Vyasanam. Danger to the people in general. Kripaya. Out of compassion. Uchu. Talked. Sma. In the past. Satrina. The performers of sacrifices. Translation, therefore, all the great sages assembled together, and after observing cruel Vena's atrocities, concluded that the great danger and catastrophe was approaching the people of the world. Thus, out of compassion, they began to talk amongst themselves, for they themselves were the performers of the sacrifices. The fourth question of Prabhupada. Before King Vena was enthroned, all the great sages were very much anxious to see to the welfare of society. When they saw that King Vena was most irresponsible, cruel, and atrocious, they began to think of the welfare, they again began to think of the welfare of the people. It should be understood that sages, saintly persons, and devotees are not unconcerned with the people's welfare. Ordinary karmis are busy acquiring money for sense gratification, and ordinary jnanis are socially aloof when they speculate on liberation. But actual devotees and saintly persons are always anxious to see how the people can be made happy both materially and spiritually. Therefore, the great sages began to consult one another on how to get out of the dangerous atmosphere created by King Vena. Om Ajnana Chagaram Dhasya Gananjana Sanakaya Chakshun Miritam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruvi Minaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Yunapurtale Svayam Rukhidamayam Sadati Svatabhantikam. So these are the very same sages that made the arrangement for Vena to become the king. They made the decision, they performed the sacrifice that installed him as the king, and now they're reconsidering their whole position. The point that Prabhupada is making here in the purport is that the basis of a saintly person's action, or a sage's action, or a devotee's action, should be for the concern of the welfare of people in general. It's actually very nice to make this contrast between the decision that the sages originally made, and then their newly forming decision. They were simply interested initially in making some expeditious arrangement, whatever is convenient set up there some king. They knew that danger was there without a good strong king, because previously there had been a very strong king. This same example is described during the time of Maharaj Pariksit, that while the presence of the personality of Kali was observed immediately, Maharaj Pariksit was prepared to stop the abuses that were being made by the personality of Kali. And the beginning of the dawn of this present age was marked in a similar manner, with an increase of rogues, thieves, and petty criminals. As was described in earlier verses, as soon as there's absence of strong government, then those rogues and thieves and rascals become very, very prominent. As we find in our Western culture, especially Western urban culture, because the qualification of the king is not present. Rather, the rulership of some city, state, or country is out of convenience for mutual sense gratification. So because of that unqualified leader, then crime is very prevalent all over the place. One cannot walk safely, the Prabhupada describes like this, one cannot walk safely at night on the street for fear of your life and well-being. Quite to the contrary, a very strong government, that is particularly the strong government that is guided by scriptural injunction, then automatically the rogues and thieves, the very same element, it's not that they stop existing, but they don't dare to be so active, they don't dare to be so bold. So their interest in choosing King Vena was that he was a very strong personality and very powerful. Because he was very strong and powerful, they wanted him as king to take care of a certain element, namely the element of the unprotected society. That had to change, however, because his behavior was so abominable and cruel. And he began, as previous verses described, he began instituting a categorical stopping of all sacrificial performances, of all spiritual activities of any kind and description, indiscriminately. When that condition in society exists, no one can be either materially happy or peaceful, nor spiritually contented either. This we understand also from Bhagavad Gita, that the performance of sacrifice is necessary, even for material well-being. So with the same kind of, the point is, with the same kind of motivation, this king had to be stopped. And they began discussing simply with the interest of the welfare of people in general. So this is the real purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as there's so many examples of how this is a fact, just as when Maharaj Pariksit was cursed to die within 7 days, he began asking the questions, how does an individual prepare himself for the time of death? Maharaj Pariksit certainly has this qualification that's being described in his verse, concerned for the welfare of the people in general, even though it was his own life that was in jeopardy. Similarly, later on, after this fourth canto, the conclusion of the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is describing the whole structure of the universe, including in that description, Shukadeva Goswami describes all the hellish planets. And as he's finished describing the awful condition that a living entity that goes to a hellish planet has to suffer, seemingly endlessly, automatically, immediately, Maharaj Prakshit wants to know, how can those living beings who are destined to end up in that hellish condition of life, how can that suffering that they have to undergo be diminished? What can be done to relieve them? Here's Maharaj Prakshit. He's not asking, please relieve me of the fact that it's only a matter of a short few days and I'm going to die. Please make some arrangement so that I don't have to die so quickly. He wasn't interested in his own welfare in that way. It is described that Maharaj Prakshit was so powerful that he could have called upon all the sages present. He was the king, a very, very powerful king. He could have, even of his own power, arranged for a counter-curse that could have nullified that curse that was to kill him. But he was not motivated in that way. How to relieve his own burden. He simply accepted the conclusion that he was going to die for his offenses in a short time. Even while in that condition, the compassion of Maharaj Prakshit was so great. But his only concern was how those who are headed for hellish life, how that can be stopped. And we find this example certainly also in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As the verses of Bhagavad Gita describe, the different persons who are very dear to Lord Krishna, one who is, even for one who is simply interested in their own spiritual advancement, it behooves one to become dear to Lord Krishna, to take up this very same concern, setting aside selfish interest, rather than calculating what will enhance my position of enjoyment. Instead, considering what is the position of relieving the suffering of so many other people. Immediately that brings one's own enjoyment. Immediately that brings about a condition where one is free from one's own problems and sufferings. This is the mystery of spiritual life, the mystery for the materialist. Whatever inconvenience is accepted by the devotee or the sage or the saintly person, that inconvenience is insignificant compared to the inconvenience that the saintly person feels about the unlimited suffering of so many living beings. That suffering is unbearable for them. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught in this way also. This is the compelling force behind the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's case, the internal reason for his appearance was to experience the attraction that Radharani has for Krishna. But the compelling force also was the suffering or the unhappiness that the Lord feels to see the living entities who are struggling so hard in this material world. That's not at all a very difficult thing to see in a horrible place like New York City. So much suffering all around, anywhere you go. To the left, to the right, walk out the door, walk into the nicest, materially nicest places that you can find. And it is such a shallow existence, also of extreme envy and hatred and fear and repression and anxiety. see suffering conditions of life as not at all a difficult thing. But the difficult thing is to understand how to relieve that suffering condition. Anyway, this is the thought of the devotee. My life, just as much as Prahlad Maharaj also described, for myself, when he was asked to accept some benediction from the Supreme Lord, his reply was, no. I don't need any benediction because, as far as myself is concerned, if I simply perform some chanting of Hare Krishna immediately, anything that I may want is immediately provided. The solace, the shelter, the happiness, everything that I could possibly want is already included in that. So I don't want anything. But his concern also was for the relief of the suffering of his horrible father. And immediately relief of that suffering for his horrible father was granted. But this is the concern of the Vaishnava. And this is the essence of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simultaneously, one's best opportunity for making spiritual progress in life is provided. The congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, spreading the glories of the Supreme Lord everywhere, in every nook and cranny of this awful material existence, simultaneously with accomplishing one's own spiritual, best spiritual advantage. Other living beings are also, in the best way possible, benefited. I read the sentence in the purport again. Prabhupada writes, it should be understood that sages, saintly persons, and devotees are not unconcerned with the people's welfare. This is an allegation that is sometimes charged. Just like when we were going on Harinam, the whole temple, the day we had our Sankirtan festival. So many people were receiving the benediction of the holy name. It was a very, very powerful presentation. So many devotees chanting and dancing, so enlivening situation. But many of us, very same people who are receiving that benediction, are hard-working, middle-class and upper-middle-class Americans, working very hard and very nasty activities, ugra karma activities, pungent, unpleasant activities, as is also described in the purport. Karmis, simply working hard for money, for sense gratification. So in their observing our activity, one can only imagine what they're thinking. And in many cases, these people are very willing to express what they're thinking. Why don't you people get a job? What kind of life is this? We're working very hard to make our American economy push forward, and you are just not taking life very seriously, singing, dancing, carrying on in this way. Same accusation was being made of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the Mayavadi sannyasis. You're not behaving in the proper manner. This is not the fit activity for a person in the renounced order of life. Frivolously singing and dancing and carrying on in this way, this is forbidden activity for a sannyasi. And certainly forbidden activity for a karmi. One doesn't have time for glorification of the holy name of God. One is too busy working hard day and night. Just like this big snowstorm yesterday, so many people simply are getting what is coming to them. A strike in the trains at the same time, they can't get back. They get to their place of work and they can't get back. They can't drive there and they can't take public transportation. Completely disturbed. But why? because they're engaged in activities of nations. They're engaged in the nastiest of activities in materialistic life. So they're simply getting what they actually deserve. A very inconvenient, unpleasant, undesirable, frustrating situation of life. So it's not that, as the allegation sometimes goes from the materialist or from the philosophical speculator, that the activities of devotion are without concern for others. People sometimes ask us this question on Sankirtan. Can you tell me about your movement? What do you do to help other people? And they're looking for some answer that fits the description of bodily benediction. Like our Food for Life program, immediately that answers their question. But before we were extensively distributing prasadam, our answer was simply, the prime benediction for humanity at large is the glorification, the congregational glorification of God in His holy name. Or in other words, what we're doing right now by giving you one of these books, that's what we're doing to help other people. Yes, yes, I know, you're distributing lots of books and you go around singing and dancing all over the city. But what do you do to help people? They don't make the connection between devotional life and relieving the suffering of material existence. They do not see it for themselves, nor do they see it for us, nor do they see it for anybody else. But the real problems of life for them are simply how to achieve more sense gratification. That's all. And they cannot understand a life that is unconcerned with whatever level of sense gratification one is able to encounter, but rather how to solve the real problems of life. This is described in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam, ending the perpetual existence of birth and death in this material world. So making a permanent solution to all of life's problems. These sages and saintly persons, they're always considering in this way. And with a very unpleasant, and as the adjective has it, atrocious king, King Vena, this was impossible. The element of rogues and thieves had been quelled. That much was accomplished. But everyone else was in complete terror and fear for their very existence, materially and spiritually. So thinking of the welfare of the citizens in general, the very same sages that installed this king were making the arrangements to remove the king. But their first step was to convene together to consider very carefully just what was the present situation and how to relieve the ghastly conditions. So some of the ideas in these few purports consecutively are somewhat overlapping and sharing some of the common ideas. I think I'll just stop here and see if there's any questions, and if not, then I'll just read a few more verses. Any points about this anyone would like to discuss? Text number 8. When the great sages consulted one another, they saw that the people were in a dangerous position from both directions. When a fire blazes on both ends of a log, the ants in the middle are in a very dangerous situation. Similarly, at that time, the people in general were in a dangerous position due to an irresponsible king on the one side and thieves and rogues on the other. Thinking to save the state from irregularity, the sages began to consider that it was due to a political crisis that they made Vena king, although he was not qualified. But alas, now the people were being disturbed by the king himself. Under such circumstances, how could the people be happy? Report. In Bhagavad Gita 18.5 it is stated that even in the renounced order one should not give up sacrifice, charity, and penance. The brahmacharis must perform sacrifices. The grihasthas must give in charity. And those in the renounced order, the vanaprasthas and sannyasis, must practice penance and austerities. These are the procedures by which everyone can be elevated to the spiritual platform. When the sages and saintly persons saw that King Vena had stopped all these functions, they became concerned about the people's progress. Saintly people preach God consciousness or Krishna consciousness because they are anxious to save the general populace from the dangers of animalistic life. There must be a good government to see that the citizens are actually executing their religious rituals, and thieves and rogues must be curbed. When this is done, the people can advance peacefully in spiritual consciousness and make their lives successful. Text 10 translation. The sages began to think within themselves, because he was born from the womb of Sunita, King Vena is by nature very mischievous. Supporting this mischievous king is exactly like maintaining a snake with milk. Now he has become a source of all difficulties. Before, saintly persons are generally aloof from social activities and the materialistic way of life. King Vena was supported by the saintly persons just to protect the citizens from the hands of rogues and thieves, but after his ascending to the throne, he became a source of trouble to the sages. Saintly persons are especially interested in performing sacrifices and austerities for the advancement of spiritual life. But Vena, instead of being obliged because of the saints' mercy, turned out to be their enemy because he prohibited them from executing their ordinary duties. A serpent who is maintained with milk and bananas simply stores poison in his teeth and awaits the day to bite his master. So some of the same points as these previous verses are being described here. Two things in particular. Saintly persons are generally aloof from social activities and materialistic way of life. This is a natural posture. Not because, as earlier verses have already described, not because they don't care about the welfare of others. This is the same point again. But because their duty is something else. Their duty is precisely that, the welfare of others. And they understand that the welfare of others can best be achieved by progressive spiritual life. Even if the whole rest of society, other than the particularly saintly persons, do not have the same inclination, society becomes hellish if those individuals who are in the balance of society do not recognize the value of progressive spiritual life and therefore those activities that are beneficial for making spiritual life progress nicely. In other words, not all members of society will become brahmanas. Not all persons within a big city like New York would be priests. That's not the idea or the conclusion of our Vedic teaching. We're not interested to convert the people in general into priests. But on the other hand, the general body of society, regardless of whatever their occupation otherwise might be, should recognize the value of devotional activity and be supportive of the performance of devotional activities. Then society can progress nicely. To say the same thing in a different way, to have society properly organized so that everyone is materially and spiritually peaceful, one prerequisite is a dominical class. This Jagrati Maharaj was discussing in one of his classes also. But there must be the element within society. This was Prabhupada's initial preaching plan, was to establish temples all over where ideal citizens, first class citizens, could be produced and trained. That's a principal purpose, if not the principal purpose, of temple life, of ashram life. It's training in standards of dominical activity. First class citizens. Our individual and collective responsibility is to become such first class citizens. And from that position, then in turn, all the rest of society needs to also be guided, instructed, taught, informed of the progressive values of spiritual life. Just as the introduction of the Bhagavatam has it, that this Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for a spiritual revolution in the whole of society. A spiritual revolution in the whole of society isn't an armed revolution, but it's a philosophical revolution or a consciousness revolution, so that all members of society can understand whether they are the dominical class or not, whether they're the saints and sages of society or not. At least the understanding should be there of the necessity of progressive spiritual value and practice for the benefit of everyone. Not even just every human being, but every living entity benefits from the performance of sacrifice, just as this can be understood in a very simple way. The benefit that is being received by all the members of the temple, for those that are caring for Radha Govinda and the deities very nicely. Because if Krishna is not pleased, at least we know this much: Krishna is being pleased. We're all benefiting by that very nice service that is being rendered by the pujaris, that the deities are being cared for in a very nice, very devotional way to the proper standards. And in a larger sense also, the devotional activities, the Krishna conscious lives of the members of this temple benefits in so many ways everyone that we come in contact with, every individual that even incidentally comes in contact with a devotee, depending upon the proper consciousness of those devotees who are members of this temple. To the degree that we're receiving proper training and accepting nicely that devotional training, the benefit is immeasurable, not just for the individuals who are residing here, but for everyone that we come in contact with. So the proper dominical class, the proper execution of activities by the saintly persons, does not mean there is a lack of concern about everybody else. People sometimes say like this to us: if you really believe in what you're doing, why don't you just take what you're doing somewhere quietly and perform it? Why do you have to push it on other people? Sometimes this, we hear this criticism. But it's not a matter of pushing it on other people, because that's not possible anyway. Spiritual life, or life in God consciousness, is something that can only be taken up voluntarily anyway, in fact. However, for us to perform Sankirtan in some public place, that is for the upliftment and benediction of all who are able to hear the kirtan party, or receive a book, or engage in some giving of some sacrifice and making some giving up some of their sense gratification, instead turning it over to saintly persons to engage in service to God. That's a voluntary thing for others to participate in or not participate in, but the benefit is, the idea in mind is for the benefit of everyone. Who's willing to accept that benefit? That should be the consciousness of the devotee. And we sometimes hear the description of neophyte devotees. Some, you know, real growling, grisly description of what, how nasty the karmis are, and they deserve this and that and the other thing. Even from the performers of Sankirtan, sometimes in neophyte consciousness, we hear this kind of description. These people are so awful, I don't even want to face them. Yuck. They're so nasty, mean, vulgar, and they are all those things. However, even despite that condition of materialistic civilization, the devotee, or the spiritually well-situated individual, sees beyond that unpleasant condition of their life and wants to somehow or other transform that condition by giving them also the opportunity to engage in some devotional service, some devotional activity of some kind or another. Just as Prabhupada described, that if someone gives a donation and that donation is used for the worship of the deity, then the benefit of the person who is giving the donation is the same as the benefit of the pujari who is performing the arti. That's a pretty miraculous condition of mercy, considering their nasty, unpleasant, despicable, abominable condition of life. But knowingly or unknowingly, as long as the proper consciousness is there on the part of the person who is receiving those funds and uses them not improperly but properly in Krishna's service, the very same spiritual benefit is derived. That is the concern that's on the part of the devotee. How to engage everyone in the Lord's service somehow. Okay, so the time is up, and I'll stop and see if there's any point that needs to be gone over. Questions? John Reitemars was asked that question more or less in one of his classes, and his answer was basically that they made a mistake. But the duty of the the minister class is not only to have a lot of knowledge and be able to recite mantras, etc., but to have practical realization, Gyanam, Vijnanamastikam, Brahmakarma, Sodhavajam. So they had it together on the Gyanam side, but not on the Vijnanam side. It got right past them, but then, although he was very strong and could curb the rogues and rascals, which was their principal concern, they would create yet another problem by bringing him in. They were lacking in that practical realization. They made a mistake, and then they took it upon themselves to correct the mistake that they had created. Because the Lord can appear, however, the end result was the appearance of an incarnation of the Lord, so he can appear, however, no limit. How could it have happened? So certainly for our sake, there's some benefit in understanding some of the qualifications of the sages and some of the disqualifications of misleading rulers, as the Bhagavatam gives us so much information like that. How society is peaceful and progressive or not. Hello? Yes. If they were also going to what? Yeah, this point was also discussed. Certainly they share in some of the responsibility and some of the reaction, for sure. Now, they can relieve, and they did relieve themselves of that by taking care of the problem. I just repeat again the same reply that John Drake Maharaj gave when a very similar question was given. If one, he was giving this example of accessory after the crime. If you know that somebody commits a crime and you didn't aid and abet the crime, but later on you found out about the crime and you helped them cover up their tracks so they wouldn't get caught for the crime, then that there's a criminal punishment for that by just regular man-made law called accessory to the crime after the crime. So if the sages had done nothing, then for sure they would have gotten sinful reaction, some portion of the sinful reaction that was coming to Vena. However, because they corrected, then they relieve themselves of that responsibility, because they corrected the wrong. It's not exactly a situation of atonement, it's a matter of acting with responsibility for one's actions. Because that was actually their service to Lord Vishnu. Within the Varnashram society, all members of society must see that their activity is for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. That's why they were taking the action to begin with. And it's also why they corrected their situation, because it wasn't pleasing to Lord Vishnu. So they're directly answerable to Lord Vishnu, because that's their position, as servants of the Lord. So, taking it in a wider sense, even we may make some mistake in the execution of our devotional service, we should be very ready and willing to recognize some defect or imperfection in the execution of that service and take the responsibility upon our own head to correct that mistake. Both things. A willingness to hear some points of correction wherever that information of the need for that correction comes. Although that service may be performed imperfectly, I'm humble enough, one needs to be humble enough to recognize those imperfections. And when those imperfections are pointed out, one needs to, the rectification begins by feeling sorry for that mistake and then taking the necessary steps to correct it. And then there isn't the same sinful reaction as the person who has, you know, in this case, as for Vena, for the person who has done something bad. Well, if it doesn't describe that, perhaps they did or perhaps they didn't. But this man was so incorrigible that common sense would tell you it's not possible. I mean, he began right off the bat by stopping sacrifices. So why would he listen to the performer of sacrifices? So perhaps they did. Anything else? It's not just that. one of the reasons why I was explaining this point, that in society, just as Prabhupada was planning, first there has to be, and Prabhupada wants us to be, those qualified brahmanas. It's not, we've got to get somebody else to bail us out. We have to be those. The expectation that Prabhupada had was that from these Krishna conscious temples, those qualified persons who at least, in theory, in principle, know the difference between what is to be done, what is not to be done, and have some also practical sense of how to implement those things that need to be done and to prevent those things that need to be not done. But if that training is, once that training is established, let's say, assuming that that training is in place and available and present, then the next step is the citizens in general need to be educated and also eventually accept those very same standards, although they may not be dominically capable themselves. They must at least, in other words, we can't fulfill the complete, this is the thing in Varnashram, that Prabhupada's saying half my work is complete, because the other half is how to educate the rest of society to understand the value of making one's life for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. That's the task that's before us. Of course, also, we have to become increasingly more and more and more and more pure ourselves, more and more qualified as these saints and sages were qualified. I understand the point that you're making. Simultaneously, the point that I'm trying to make is, even it's not just a matter of some qualified brahmanas who could churn from the body of Vena or churn from the body of, you know, any one of these mini Venas and produce a saintly, you know, incarnation of the Lord out of it, because even with that, still it requires the populace in general to support such a king. Like Prabhupada was describing, sometimes reporters would ask, you know, would you become president if you were asked to be, and he just laughed. We're not interested in that. We're interested in something else. We're interested in bringing people to the point of God consciousness. But supposing, if the people in general had recognized what Prabhupada was giving to them, prepared to give to them, even beyond their expectation, they would have supported him or someone who Prabhupada would have recommended as a qualified person, as king. But even if that qualified king were there, the people still have to accept. The dominical function, even if you have the qualified dominical function, that's not enough. So it's maybe not a very satisfying answer, but this is the best answer that I can. When considering this point myself, this is the point that I always come to, is we have the responsibility to make ourselves more and more pure and qualified, not just so that we can, by mantras, we can destroy somebody if they're not qualified, but we have to make ourselves so qualified that people in general will want, as they did during the time of Ramchandra, for example, and people in general always want a great magnanimous ruler who would give them material well-being for sure. Not to speak of the need to educate people that the best material well-being comes from spiritual well-being. That's our present task. That was major part of what Prabhupada was trying to accomplish, and our responsibility for the rest of society to help fulfill that desire. To qualify ourselves and to give that understanding to other people. Then in due course of time, as amongst the body of Vaishnavas, a great spiritually qualified saintly person or group of persons become available to recognize and train a qualified leader, the people will accept that qualified leader. If that qualified leader came marching into New York City or into the White House, he wouldn't be accepted. People want something else right now. They want this sense gratification. Okay, let's stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.